Hey, everybody. This is P. Norman Grant with another Grapefruit Agenda, where we summarize, analyze, and criticize what passes for news these days in Florida, across the country, and wherever the sun shines. We're in Indian River County, but that's not why we call this the Grapefruit Agenda. We're sweet on conservatism, sour on liberalism. In as much time as it takes you to visit your nearest voter drop box, we'll throw in a few facts and a lot of opinion about what's going on in the world. So join me in Slim Jim with the Grapefruit Agenda. Today's piece is entitled The Funny Papers. If you recall, I mentioned that Fiorella LaGuardia, the mayor of New York City during the Depression, used to read the funny papers while the actual newspapers of the city were on strike. So as I read some of this news today from our local paper, take things in stride and try to smile. Now, I like newspapers, but every morning I go out there with a little trepidation these days. Newspapers have changed over the years, and I recall pretty much when they did, when Donald Trump was elected president. And the big newspapers of the day didn't really appreciate it. I remember Dean Baquet at the time gathered all his reporters in the big office in Manhattan and said, we're not doing that great a job criticizing the administration, so what we have to do is we have to get Trump with racism. We need to report all the stories we can possibly lay on this guy with racist appellations. We have to make the appellation of racism stick. So Charlottesville came out and they emphasized that. How about Washington Post and Jeff Bezos down in the Washington Post changed his motto, his banner, to democracy dies in darkness. The darkness meaning, of course, the administration of Trump. And so they went on this crusade and still are on a crusade against conservatism underneath Donald Trump. So these papers have changed. And so today, when I received my paper, I was not surprised at the crusade, it seems, it's going on against not only conservatives, but Trump, all the Republicans, and of course, Ron DeSantis. So page one in the funny papers today. Long fight likely for parental rights law. The so-called don't say gay measure disputed. Now, I'm sitting here with Slim Jim. Have you heard anybody call it this law, the parents' rights law, the don't say gay bill? Because I haven't heard them.
On the news, I have.
And the news, yeah. Well, that's the lefty news. It's not the don't say gay. It's the parents' rights law. And so our newspapers have come up with the appellation of don't say gay, which seems to be antithetical to really what it is. A legal battle now is extended. So the left seems to be making a claim that this law is going to be anti-constitutional and too vague. As a matter of fact, the group called Equality Florida, it's a group of LGBTQ advocacy organization, including parents, students, and a teacher, filed a federal lawsuit in March. And now Ashley Moody is now defending the suit against the law that was passed, HB 1557, that bars instruction on sexual orientation and gender identity in kindergarten through third grade and requires that such instruction in older grades be age-appropriate, in accordance with state academic standards, close quotes. That's Ashley Moody, fighting for the parents' rights bill, not the so-called don't say gay bill. So we're off to a good start because we're probably seeing the Treasure Coast newspapers, this is my press journal, but we have parallel newsmakers all over the state of Florida, in Tallahassee, in Tampa, and Sarasota, Jacksonville. There's yet to be a paper I've seen that doesn't include USA Today and the Associated Press. And so these people are really piling up a whole bunch of dung in my newspaper, which I used to love. I used to love the newspapers. Now I look at it as propaganda. Number two, story number two. If we could see these beautiful people here, Slim Jim, I'm looking at two people in Alabama, Dr. Hussein Abdul Latif, who looks like a mummy, and pediatrician Dr. Marissa Ladinsky, who looks like she is like a bad version of Lucretia DeVille after a face job. Come on, man.
She does.
Where are these people? Why would they put this picture in there if they're trying to be nice to these people? Because they are doctors who are threatened by the new Alabama law, the transgender law that's trying to deny exactly what's going on here, the parental rights law. It's right underneath the parental rights article. So the headline is Transgender Treatment, Doctors Threatened by New Alabama Law. So the new Alabama law seems to be making it illegal to treat gender dysphoria. These poor people then might be out of a job. That could be. Or maybe they do care about people who are trans. So a new state law that took effect Sunday makes it a felony punishable by up to 10 years in prison for doctors to prescribe puberty blockers and hormones to trans people under age 19. Now, what does the bill in Florida consist of? It's about handling people from kindergarten to third grade. There was no other law. In Alabama, I believe it's the same. So when they talk about puberty blockers, do you know of anybody that goes through puberty at 18, Slim Jim?
I do not.
How would that be possible? So here, let me read this again. So it's going to make it 10 years in prison for doctors to prescribe puberty blockers for people who are 17, 18, and 19 years old. I'm wondering what kind of crime that would be. What would they deserve? Puberty blockers and hormone treatments, okay? So the Dr. Abdul Latif, who's from Jordan, came from Atlanta by way of University of Alabama at Birmingham. So he says, well, these trans people, they always existed, but they often did not have the feeling of empowerment to come out or come out to their physicians, he said. And now that they are, we're hitting them back with legal action. The people who are coming out, are they the third graders, do you think?
Yeah, they're coming out.
Right? These third graders are marching around the school. We want our puberty blockers, holding up signs. Give us our hormone treatments. I can see it now. Here's the problem, Slim Jim, that the U.S. Department of Justice has joined the suit. So they're going to join the suit with these vampires who look like they're off just a little bit genetically themselves. And they're going to be joining the U.S. Department of Justice. Okay? So they said in 2015, after seeing more families with kids identifying as trans and seeking help for gender-related issues, they decided to found a clinic to treat children with gender dysphoria. Now, in Birmingham, Alabama, they now treat more than 150 young people who are transgender or gender diverse. That's awful nice of them. All right, page 18, story number 3. It's decision time for January 6th panel. You know, the Treasure Coast newspapers and the Associated Press and United USA Today, they just can't get enough Trump blood. What is it with Trump's blood that consists of something that he desires so bad? But I'm trying to find out where the news is. Where's the news in this story? Committee must decide whether it will question Trump and Pence. Okay? So do you think that if they subpoenaed Mr. Trump and even Vice President Mike Pence, would they really come to the January 6th House committee investigating the riot, which they called an insurrection? Here. The House committee investigating the January 6, 2020 insurrection has interviewed nearly 1,000 people, and they want Trump too. Okay? Now, the insurrection. If this really were an insurrection, I want to know where they keep their aircraft carriers. Where did the insurrection, these guys who were spending in jail, by the way, they're still in jail. The guy in jail is running for Congress, as a matter of fact, out of Tampa. The other running for office from the jail cell. So, where would they keep their militia? The Oath Keepers. The Oath Keepers, now they call the Oath Keepers the white supremacists and the part of the insurrection. Where did they keep their oath? Where did the Oath Keepers keep their submarines? Do you know?
I don't.
They didn't find them.
No.
So in the National Marina, which is close by the Washington Monument at Al, we could see a place where they could keep the submarines. And the poor boys. Remember the poor boys? Joe Biden called the Proud Boys.
Yes.
The poor boys. So where did the poor boys that were in there that they breaking windows and disturbing papers, putting their feet up on desks, where did the poor boys keep their Air Force? Did they have a couple of jets stored nearby? I did see where they had a couple of shotguns in a truck about 3 blocks away. And some guys did do time for that. Nearly a year into their wide-ranging investigation into the worst attack on the Capitol in more than 2 centuries, yada, 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 yada. I remember there were stories of the Puerto Rican Liberation Front that actually jumped inside the Capitol back in the 50s, I believe, and shot it up. But it's the worst attack in the Capitol in more than 2 centuries. That makes good text, good copy. All right, here we go. Georgia elections chief aims to shore up Republican support. And here's Trump's best friend, never, Brad Raffensperger, Secretary of State of Georgia, who didn't help one iota in the election of 2020. As a matter of fact, he kept a lot of stuff underneath his foot, tamped down. And as we see this movie, 2000 Mules, we see about the noncompliance of the Secretary of State Raffensperger to make one move, just one flinch toward finding out any kind of ballot fraud. And he didn't really make a move. And so now he's running on that very platform. He says it could be difficult bid to clinch the GOP nomination later this month. He is one of Donald Trump's top primary targets this year after he refused to bend to pressure from the former president to overturn Joe Biden's victory in Georgia. Now, wait. His insistence on honoring the results of a free and fair election in 2020 turned Raffensperger into an unlikely national figure. But now, where is his main stick in the mud? Where does he stay in the platform? He says he's running for the Secretary of State. He says that the biggest issue is that he wants the voters to be U.S. citizens. How controversial is that, Slim Jim?
That's extremely. All the people in New York want to let the illegal aliens vote.
Well, that would be another issue. If he would run on that, he might actually do better against, what's her name? A lady named Height, I believe. Emory University, okay. All right, so look, I'm looking at running for the Secretary of State. This has got to be tongue-in-cheek. Associated Press, Kate Brumbeck. Kate Brumbeck wrote this, and just a foolhardy piece on Raffensperger. The guy's trying to shore up Republican support by saying U.S. citizens should be the only people voting. That's news, people. That's news. Here's another one. Commentary section. This is a TC Papers, TC Palms. Florida legislatures have again failed to protect the environment. Okay? Ryan Smart, guest columnist. These are the papers I depend on for news. So once again, he says, picture of a little swamp there. This is maybe from the TV show, Swamp Creatures. Once again, money and greed won the day in Tallahassee, thanks in no small part to campaign checks handed out by industry groups like Associated Industries of Florida and to campaign fraud linked to some of Florida's most powerful corporations. Wait a minute. This is a left-wing guy criticizing the Florida legislature, which is Republican, and he's saying there might be some campaign fraud. That's pretty newsworthy. That's the news, but not the swamp stuff, okay? Save the manatees, people, if you can. All right, 1619 Project, right below that. This is great. The 1619 Project deserves to be read, and we see why. Why? Because there are facts. Here are the facts, people. There was slavery. I'm looking at the number of times in this 700-word piece, the number of times slavery was written. Once, twice, slavery, support of slavery, slavery there. Slavery, denial of historical literacy, slavery, 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 slavery. So as difficult as it may be to read, the 1619 Project isn't propaganda. It is factual. And what is also factual? There are a number of mosquitoes in Arizona. There are historical racist things that happened in the 60s. We trust our history teachers and social studies teachers to go over that. So we must push slavery, the word, in front of us as much as we possibly can to make somebody look bad. Matter of fact, the new civil look at the social studies curriculum is happening in Florida to make social studies more civil. This doesn't seem to be civil. You want to hear the word slavery again? Here. Slavery, slavery. What kind of inequality? Slavery. Here's another 17 times in one article, people. Problem? So here's the main idea. Whitewashing history is an attempt to influence it with personal opinion. The personal opinions of people like DeSantis and a complicit legislature that does his bidding. Here we go. This is the news, people. They are doing our children a great disservice by trying to deny history. Okay, the 1619 Project may be difficult to read. Keeping the truth from our children is impossible to defend. I can come out a whole lot of truth. A whole lot of truth. Doesn't have to be dividing our kids and saying slavery, 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 over and over and over and over. All right, here we go. Is Writer King killed John Lennon? Case closed. This is a crazy person. This is by Chris Anderson, columnist for Sarasota Herald Tribune, not the Tallahassee Democrat, which also exists in his paper. So it's from the USA Today Network. I guess he wrote an article that was pretty funny, and USA Today picked it up. So here's the anti-Trump big lie of the day. So this guy in Sarasota was screaming one day that Stephen King killed John Lennon. And somehow the poor guy was arrested for being nutty in the middle of the street, and this is a bombshell accusation, as serious as it gets. Stephen King killing John Lennon, that's absurd, but they arrest the poor guy, causing a disturbance. So here's the angle of Chris Anderson. A bombshell accusation, as serious as it gets, one of the world's great authors murdered one of the great world's great musicians. As far as scope and magnitude, this ranks right up there with, get this, Grapefruiters, I don't know, ex-President Donald Trump claiming the presidential election was rigged. So, geez, that's pretty crazy, isn't it? People, wait till you see 2,000 Mules. Look, we have, oh, it's a Trump story. How about that? Do they get a bounty? Is there a bounty in these papers for naming Trump in any way they can? This is the Associated Press article by O'Brien, Chen, and Tom Kushner. They all get paid for writing a bounty story about Trump. Musk says he would lift Trump's ban of Trump. Now, news is when Musk has lifted the ban. But the speculation, the fantasy, the mystery around will he or won't he is news? So Musk says he would lift Twitter's ban of Trump. What else do we have, Slim Jim?
On the backside.
On the backside. Oh, look at this. Here's Joe Biden, and he was in his speech the other day. He was excoriating Rick Scott. Rick Scott, who's the senator from Wisconsin. Is he from Wisconsin, Jim?
Florida.
Was he from Florida? Oh, Joe. No, Joe said Wisconsin, though.
Well, Joe must have been wrong.
He misspoke.
One time. First time.
He stumbled a little bit. And so what he's got is the GOP having no plan. No plan about inflation. Here's the headline, Grapefruiters. Biden says inflation is priority, semicolon, accuses GOP of having no plan. And so here's Rick Scott. I thought this was pretty good. The committee is headed by Florida Senator Rick Scott, National Republican Senatorial Committee. Rick Scott, ain't a bad dude. Governing plan is if Republicans take control of Congress, he's become a target. He's become a target of Democrats. And what he said was that everybody should have a little tax so they have skin in the game. Biden attacks Scott's assertion that all Americans should pay some income tax. Horrible horrors, paying a little bit to get a lot. So we would ask Joe then, what is your plan? Well, let's let the Associated Press do their job. If Republicans want to repudiate his plan, Joe's plan, they should do that, White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki said. Oh, she's on the way out too, isn't she? What a great improvement. Have you seen the replacement, Slim?
Yeah.
She's going to be a real card. All right, but otherwise, that continues to be what we're running on, she said. Now, here's the Associated Press. Steps the White House said Biden has taken to combat inflation, write this down, Grapefruiters, include releasing oil from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, working with private sector to lower the cost of the internet access for low-income Americans, freezing student loan payments, and making more dependents eligible for premium subsidies under the Affordable Care Act. I think that'll do it. Wouldn't that do it, Slim Jim?
Sure.
I don't know. It's possible. One last one, though. This is a killer. We went through this guy before. Seth Bornstein, a friend of ours, when we did the Rainier broadcast, is once again taking a whack at us guilty people for having too much carbon footprint, okay? World closes in on warming threshold. This will leave you with a good fuzzy feeling, Grapefruiters. Real fuzzy. I'm looking at a picture here with these two poor people walking across this dried-out riverbed, looks like. So the headline, Earth given 50-50 chance of hitting the mark by 2026. Obviously, the mark is the one set down in the Paris Accords. The mark is, actually, we're the marks. We're the marks because we're getting our pockets picked by all these other countries in the world. We have to pony up some dough so they can feel better about using their six-cylinder cars in Portugal. So the world is creeping closer to the warming threshold international agreement. They're trying to prevent with nearly a 50-50 chance that Earth will temporarily hit that temperature mark within the next 5 years. This is kind of complex. Now get this. With human-made climate change continuing, is that a stone fact? Is that codified? As they're trying to codify Roe Wade, is that codified? Human man-made climate change is continuing and therefore causing this picture we see on the right. So there's a 48% chance. Is that from Vegas? 48% chance.
The odds makers.
Could be Ladbroke. I love Ladbroke from London. That the globe will reach a yearly average of 1.5 degrees at Celsius above pre-industrial levels of late 1800s. Because we know, we talked about that mythical village that they compare pre-man This is pre-1800s. So let me go through this again. That 48% chance that the globe will reach a yearly average of 1.5 degrees Celsius above pre-industrial levels of the late 1800s at least once between now and 2026, a bright red signal in climate change negotiations and science. So it'll hit it once, and that's a 48% chance of doing that. This is Seth Bornstein's contribution to my newspaper in the Associated Press. And the picture of these poor people crossing this riverbed is taken in New Delhi, India. Thank you, Seth. Grapefruiters, it's time for me to hit the crossword puzzle. Thank you for the newspapers. And for Slim Jim and I, P. Norman Grant, whenever you can squeeze in a grapefruit agenda, please do.